is my instant reaction to The New Mutants. Folks, it is a White Claw kind of evening. I'm talking to you tonight about, as I record this, the New Mutants film that came out in limited release in August of 2020 and was supposed to be out, I think, in 2018, 2019. There was obviously a bunch of reshoots and all kind of stuff. I'm not going to delve too far into the history. It was directed by Josh Boone, who directed and I think wrote the adaptation of The Fault in Our Stars. Hang on. 70 Cal White Claw time. Mango. He wrote this as well, along Nat Lee. And it's based on New Mutants by Chris Claremont and Bob McLeod. Stars Maisie Williams, Anna Taylor-Joy, Charlie Heaton, Alice Braga, Blue Hunt, and Henry Zaga. This was, I think, the final film that 20th Century Fox ever put out. No, I don't think that's right. No, it was. It was, I think, the final 20th Century Fox film. I think the final one to get major theatrical release was Underwater, but I might be confused about that. This is kind of Marvel, because when it comes up, it goes, associated with Marvel. this is going to be spoilers all the way, because this thing's been out since August. It just hit VOD this weekend. I literally just got done watching it, hence instant reaction. We respond our reactions as soon as we get done watching it. I couldn't find another soul willing in the podcast universe to talk about this movie. Movie currently has like a 30-something percent, 32, 34% Rotten Tomatoes. It's just not very good. When the movie eventually came out, and all for the rumor and innuendo that was going on the internet, and the reshoots and the production delays and all this sort of stuff, I thought that this was potentially going to be one of the biggest debacles of 2020, not unlike Cats last year, that this was going to, first of all, I really genuinely thought it was never going to come out. Ever. I thought it would maybe be dumped on Hulu or something like that. Yeah, you know, or maybe even show up on Disney Plus. But I didn't think this was ever going to make it in theaters. And you can't really say it did, because on a budget of $80 million, it only pulled in $45 million, because more than half of the theaters in America were closed. Let me say for the record, if you if you paid money in theaters for a theatrical release for this film, and you wasn't required viewing as a film critic, I feel sorry for you. May God have mercy on your soul. Demons can't come into churches, but they shitty movies can come into theaters, and that is exactly what this is. The problem with this movie is manifold, but it's bad. It's bad in its production quality. It very much, this is a phrase, I gotta find a new phrase for this, folks, because I just keep saying the same shit over and over. So I know, bear with me. I need to come up with a new phrase for this because I don't want to be redundant. I've said repeatedly, it looks like a TV show. And what I mean by that is it looks like one of those premier Netflix shows that you would see, would just pop up out of nowhere, maybe have a couple people in it that you recognize, obviously have some money behind it in the scope of a streaming television series, but is not intended for a theatrical release. This movie, as far as I understand it, was always supposed to be a theatrical motion picture. And I don't care, even the better Netflix films, the vast majority of them, the ones that were produced in-house and always intended to air on Netflix or stream on Netflix, you can tell how old I am, all have a particular sheen to them. They all have a look to them. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the digital cameras. I don't know if they were, like, Sony had a look to it. Back in the day, 20th Century Fox had a look to it. Back in the day, Paramount had a look to it. Sony still has a look to it. And most of Sony's production of live-action material looks like shit. It just looks really bad. See Ghostbusters 2016. Let's open that can of worms again. Or Pixels or whatever the fuck. or Free Guy, I think, is a Sony movie. I mean, it just looks like they just have a look to them. So I don't know if it's because they're only using Sony cameras and only certain technology, certain color correction software. I don't know what it is because it's not film stock anymore, right? Nobody's shooting on film other than Christopher Nolan and maybe one or two other people. So we know it's not film stock. So what the hell is it? This is 20th Century Fox that is now 20th Century Studios owned by the Walt Disney Corporation. And this looks worse than any of the other 20th Century Fox X-Men movies, which did not look particularly good. I don't think there's been a good-looking X-Men or X-Men-related film. I don't even think Deadpool looks very good. I think Deadpool kind of looks like shit. I think there's an inferiority looked aesthetic to them. They look inferior, right? They're I don't know how to explain it. It's in the colors. There's a lack of depth of field. Very flat. 20th Century Fox movies in the X-Men canon were just very flat looking. See X-Men Origins Wolverine. The exception, of course, is Logan. That's the exception. So this movie comes in. It's loosely affiliated with the X-Men. It's based on comic book series. I'll let the Joes of the world dive into that. That's not my forte, especially I think it's a newer run of comic books. The idea is interesting, right? The idea is that this is sort of an Xavier school for gifted students, but it's the anti Xavier school for gifted youngsters, right? It's a hellhole. It's very much like I got Nightmare on Elm Street 3, the Dream Warrior vibes. It's basically an old tuberculosis hospital. It's been converted into a place for young mutants to be sequestered until they can learn to control their powers. And it looks like it should be a Netflix streaming teen soap opera. It looks like a Netflix product. It looks like a streamer. Maybe that's what I'll call it. But it really does. It looks like it belonged on Netflix. They released this fucker in IMAX, and I don't understand that for the life of me. This, based just on the way it was shot, did not deserve to be a theatrical release. It's not up to quality, let alone the script, let alone the reshoots and the final cut and whatever the fuck. It could have been an interesting movie. Young mutants held in captivity, thinking that they're at a hospital, and really there's nefarious things going on, and their nightmares are haunting them. And I say, if you want to see a better version of this, go see Nightmare on Elm Street, The Dream Warriors. A young girl has a tornado or something that attacks her. She's a Native American First Nations person, Cheyenne, and a reservation is attacked, and she's the sole survivor, and her father is killed. And her story is wrapped around in cliches. She's played by Blue Hunt. And I think Blue Hunt probably did this when she was 12, the principal photography, and she's probably like 27 now by the time this thing came out. So I do not want to hold this against her, but she's atrocious. I mean, she doesn't even run convincingly on screen. Do you know how bad of an actor you have to be to not run convincingly on a screen? It's dumbfounding to me. And Anya Taylor-Joy, who is English and Argentinian, I believe, who is in Queen's Gambit, which is all the rage right now, was in Split and Glass, which if there's any movie out there this is very similar to, it's very similar to Glass. If you've seen Glass, it's basically this. She's not good in this. I think she's a good actress. She was in The Witch and some other things. And I think I've seen her in some stuff. I thought she was really good. She's not good in this. Some might argue she's the best part of it. That very well may be, but she's still not good, just at all. And it's the vast majority of the movie is these four or five kids. I think there's five of them, maybe, or four of them. Four of them. No, there's five. There's five kids and one doctor, played by Alice Braga, who you might remember from I Am Legend, sitting around doing fucking nothing, not getting along, slowly revealing their backstories, slowly revealing their powers and their abilities. The new character, Danny, played by Blue Hunt, Danny Moonstar, she doesn't know what her abilities are. So lo and behold, of course, the monster that attacked her village, or her reservation rather, is going to be her. It's going to be an extension of her p- powers or her ability. She had a nightmare, and then everyone was killed, so we know it's going to be her. And as soon as we just know, like, from the look of this creepy-ass old psych hospital that they're in lockdown and the drabness of it all, we just know that Alice Braga's going to be a villain, and we know she's working for villains. We know that the kids don't really know why they're there. They're on lockdown. They're monitored all the time. You never get the impression she's there to help these kids. So when it's revealed by Anya Taylor-Joy walking into an office and pulling out her file and saying, she's going to make me I'm the perfect killer, and acting heartbroken when she's been bragging about being a killer the entire movie, we're not going to be X-Men. We're going to be killers. It took us an hour and a half to get to that point. We knew that as soon as the movie started rolling. We knew that Danny was the cause of the destruction of a reservation. As soon as the movie, if you've ever seen a movie, you know what's going to happen here. As soon as the Maisie Williams character, who's a dog, who turns into a dog, and that's her turning into a dog is the least ludicrous part of her abilities. It's when her canines grow out and she's got digital fur on her face and she's just clawing at people. That's ludicrous. That's the silliest fucking thing. It's embarrassing. Maisie Williams is in this, and instantly you know there's going to be a same-sex relationship. No problem with that, but it's not a good one. You just know it's going to happen. There's no implications for it. There's no, okay, well, they meet, and it's obvious, non-subtle filmmaking for bored teenagers. I don't know who this is for. The two guys are duds. I don't even really give a shit about them. And those are the only characters in the movie. And the movie can't decide. I mean, there's some weird edits in it where it's like a Breakfast Club dance sequence where are they high? Are they drunk? We kind of already saw that in First Class. I don't really know what was the point of that. Then immediately cut to from them having a dance party to talking about how they've killed their parents. It's very odd. Odd decisions were made. I think it's a script issue. The acting's atrocious. But I didn't understand why everybody and their brother said that this was an embarrassingly bad film to the point of like being one of the all-time bad turkeys, say, like Cats. The people were talking about like it was that. I was just bored by the movie. It's just so bland. And it's just a bunch of nightmare sequences. They look like they're something out of It. They look like cut sequences out of the first It, where it's just CGI goop monsters chasing these kids but never really killing them or hurting them. It's just kind of a waste of time. And on top of that, the kids aren't charming. There's no chemistry between them. The special effects are laugh out loud. They're not laugh out loud. They're just that bland CGI look to them. They're just sort of muddy, poorly rendered visual effects. And that's the problem with the movie. It's not so bad it's good. It's not so bad it's funny. It's just tremendously flat. It's just a tremendously flat film. Until about the last 20 minutes. If it's possible for a movie that has no momentum to simultaneously be inert and jump the shark, if you could jump a shark inertly, that's what this movie does when Alice Braga is assigned to kill by the Essex Corporation. And as soon as Alice Braga's character, Dr. Reyes, says, the superior I work for has a way of discovering new mutants, it's like, oh, Mr. Sinister. No, it's Mr. Sinister. I knew it. They're never going to show him. That's who it is. And then three quarters of the way through, they reveal it's the Essex Corporation, which, of course, is Mr. Sinister, who they've teased, I don't know, 20 times in this fucking continuity or the various continuities, and we never got to see him. Shout out to my boys at Disney. Please hook us up with Mr. Sinister and make him better than Apocalypse. And why don't you just give us a redo in Apocalypse? There's a multiverse. Just give us a new Apocalypse. Sorry, Oscar Isaacs. You're out. Hit the bricks, pal. The movie culminates with Alex Braga being attacked by a giant CGI demon bear. And if you think I'm joking, I'm not, because it's called a demon bear. By the people in the movie and by the subtitles, I'm elderly, so I watch the movies with the subtitles on, as I believe all people should, and it just says, demon bear growling gently, repeatedly, demon bear snarling loudly, demon bear, demon bear, demon bear. Not man, bear, pig, demon bear, dream, demon bear. And Yeah, it just eats her and rips her. It's a giant demon bear that rips her a wall and eats her and takes her out of the wall and then attacks the rest of the students while Danny is in a dream sequence or something. And at that point, I just went, oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Oh, come on. Oh, come on. Come on. It's kind of funny. I mean, it really is. And the dialogue just that goes to absolute shit. Anya Taylor-Joy at one point goes, hey, Yogi, lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. In a very bad Russian accent. I don't know. Maybe she got maybe she had dialect coaching from that Olsen sister who's in the Marvel continuity. I don't know. Maybe she's from Sokovia. It's hard to talk about movies that are bad, but not so bad they're funny. Like, I can't point to a scene and be like, and then I laughed and I laughed. I can't do that. I was a laughing fool just sitting there in your chair watching this thing unfold. And it's only 94 minutes, so I can't really complain about the length. But as the late, great Roger Ebert said, no good movie is too long and no bad movie is too short. But the idea that 20th Century Fox, one of the great film studios that was founded in 1935 and no longer exists as of 2020, that has some of the highest grossing films of all time, Avatar, Titanic, The Phantom Menace, Revenge of the Sith, Star Wars, Deadpool, Attack of the Clones, Return of the Jedi, Independence Day, The Empire Strikes Back, Home Alone, Night at the Museum, not that that's a great movie, but still, Castaway, The Martian, Logan, Mrs. Doubtfire, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Ice Age, Dawn of the Dinosaurs, that the idea that these movies, How to Train Your Dragon series, Life of Pi, the idea, The Revenant, the idea that this studio that made some colossal, all-time great films since 1935 no longer exist. And the last thing that they're going to be remembered for potentially, and maybe it's been long enough that no one will associate with 20th Century Fox, and what difference does it make? Because it's just all Disney now anyways. I know how that goes. Maybe nobody gives a shit. But as a film fan, I found it very sad. I found it very sad. So if I was to give this movie a score out of 10, 2? I'm on my second White Claw. So I'm on my second White Claw, so that sounds about right. I give this movie a 2 out of 10. You know, it's just not good. It's just not a very good film. It's kind of funny at the end when you have a bunch of CGI bears running around attacking people, but it's not funny enough. It truly, truly isn't. This has been my instant reaction to 2020s, 2018s, 2019s, whatever. New Mutants, now streaming for $5.99 out there. Just wait for Hulu or Disney Plus if you're curious. And if you've seen it and you disagree with me, you think there's something redeemable in it, please don't hesitate. Tweet the show at Binge Movies on Twitter or email the show, bingemovies@gmail.com. Don't forget, follow us on Letterboxd, letterboxd.com/bingemovies. We want to hear from you. And of course, you can always sponsor an episode. People seem to enjoy putting me through pain, and that's fine. So pin me, pay me. You pay me, I'll watch it, I'll review it. And it'd be nice to review some good movies every once in a while. We have some good movies coming out in the main theme. We're going to drop this as a bonus feature. Coming up Tuesday, we have Five Nights of Fraser, which is wild. So make sure you download, subscribe. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podbean, Spotify, all those great places. Amazon Podcast, everywhere good podcasts are found. So make sure you subscribe. Leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, please. That really helps us out. We've only got a handful. We could use about 100 more. So if you would like to do that or create a bot account that would just leave us 100 5-star reviews, that'd be great too. Russia, if you're listening. Sokovia, if you're listening. Anya. Ilyana Rasputin, if you're listening. Duh.
Until next time. binge on.